Well, as the end of the year draws near, there's a hint of rebellion in government ranks. Yesterday, Queensland MP George Christensen said that a lot of people had told him to, quote, pull the pin on the government. Unnamed colleagues of South Australian Senator Cory Bernardi say that he's considering a split from the Liberal Party. Both have expressed concern about the direction of the government. Tasmanian Senator Eric Abetz also said this week that the government needs to focus on issues that are important to people outside of the Canberra bubble. Eric Abetz joins me now. Merry Christmas, Senator Abetz. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Happy Christmas to you and your listeners as well.
The concerns that are being raised by George Christensen and Cory Bernardi, are they ones that you share?
Well, these concerns don't arise in a vacuum, and I think we saw at the last election that the coalition bled 1.7 million votes to more conservative right-wing parties. So as a result, I think the Liberal National Parties, the coalition, do need to take stock and see why we have lost some of our support base. And I think the reason is that we have not necessarily appealed as we should to our natural core constituency with some of the conservative values that myself and others share.
How genuine is the risk for the Liberal Party that some members may peel away and form a new, more strictly conservative group?
I'll leave that to the commentators to pontificate about, but there is a simple rule in politics that disunity is death, and therefore my view is, if at all possible, you work within your party, you work within the system to make it work. And I still believe, and overwhelmingly, if you talk to the Liberal and National Party membership and our supporter voter base, overwhelmingly, they are of a conservative disposition and they expect the government to be of a centre-right disposition. That is what we need to work forward to in 2017 to ensure that we adequately reflect their aspirations. And if I might say, their aspirations are to be able to balance their household budget, to have job security, to protect our borders, to have national security. They're the sort of things that excite them and concern them. And if I might say, it is not marriage, it is not republic, it is not those sort of things which often get spoken about in the Canberra bubble, within the cities, at coffee shops, but can I tell you, they are not spoken about at community barbecues or at the workplace lunchrooms.
I know that one of the issues for some of the members that you're speaking about here that is very important is 18C of the Race Discrimination Act. Do you put that in that same category of issues that maybe are important in Canberra but are not necessarily spoken about at barbecues around the country?
Well, interestingly, I think the Section 18C Racial Discrimination Act has been developed into a mainstream issue, and be it Essential Research, News Poll or Galaxy, they've all shown that overwhelmingly, with 57%+ people see the need for a change, there is movement, and people have now recognised what 18C is all about. When you've got high-profile journalists like Andrew Bolt, the Archbishop of Tasmania, students in QUT, etc., all being subjected to, and Bill Leek, the famous cartoonist.
But can I say, you do see it as separate to those other issues that are very important in Canberra. I mean, if you're citing the polls as the reason, you could say that for some of those issues as well. I mean, you know, there's clearly strong polls for things like marriage equality. I'm just trying to understand where you see the difference.
But see, once again, the ABC betrays itself when you talk about marriage equality as opposed to changing the definition of marriage. And when you talk to people in the streets, can I tell you, the issue of changing the foundational institution of our society does not rate.
Sure, you're free to call it whatever you like. I'm just trying to dig down on what you see as being different about those issues that you mentioned that you think are not important to the public compared with 18C, which you say you think is.
One of the fundamental virtues on which our society has been built is the freedom of speech. And that is a vital underpinning for our whole society. and it is important that freedom of speech be up there in lights as a virtue that needs to be protected. Having said that, I'm on the record as having said that budget repair, the Australian Building and Construction Commission legislation, quite rightly, should have been the government's priority in 2016, but I hope in 2017 we can make that very small amendment to Section 18C, which is to remove the words offend and humiliate. Not a big change, shouldn't take much time in the Parliament, and people like even Professor Gillian Triggs is now being mugged by the reality of the need for amendment.
So you have been to barbecues, you've heard people talking about 18C at barbecues.
People talk about the right to freedom of speech, political correctness gone mad. They see Bill Leak and the QUT students, which have got a lot of mainstream media coverage. So people, yes, were talking about that because it concerns them, because they think if this can happen to a cartoonist, if this can happen to innocent university students, why couldn't it happen to them if they do something on Facebook that somebody feels that they want to be offended about? So that is an important issue to a lot of people. And yes, they do raise it and they do express concern and say, when are we going to get rid of this political correct madness? And the issue at the moment in the public eye in relation to political correctness is Section 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act.
So what is it about the way you do politics, the way Corey Bernardi does politics, that enables you to sit outside the Canberra bubble, as you describe it? What are you doing differently, do you think, to mainstream establishment, elite politicians, or whatever you want to call them, that enables you to connect so directly with where you think the mood of the Australian public is?
Being out and about, listening to people, not watching, if I might say, ABC 24 or Sky News 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but actually being out there in the community, being at school assemblies, at the local Channel Men's Shed barbecue the other day, end of year barbecue. It is interesting what topics are raised, and can I tell you, Republic is not raised.
But do you think your colleagues are not doing that?
Well, each colleague has to be able to speak for him or herself, and I don't presume to do that. What I can do.
Sure, but I'm just trying to understand why you believe that your view of where the public is at is so much more connected than all of your colleagues. You're sort of talking about the party drifting away from where you think the Liberal Party base is. I'm trying to understand what you're doing differently to everyone else.
Well, Hamish, what we've got is 1.7 million votes that hemorrhaged away from the coalition. Since then, sadly, the coalition has deteriorated further in the polls. So I don't think it is acceptable for us to say business as usual, everything is hunky-dory. I think we do have to ask the tough question, why is it that we hemorrhaged those votes? Why is it that since the election, our position has deteriorated? And I think the reason is that we are not reflecting the aspirations of the Australian people, who do want job security, who do want their budgets, their household budgets protected. And so, for example, the cost of energy is another huge issue where a lot of people are concerned.
Can I ask you a broader question on this? Do you think different sectors or different factions or different groups within the political spectrum live in their own bubbles? That in fact there may be different bubbles, there may be echo chambers where people hear lots of the opinions that they agree with because of who they associate with, what they read, etc. And that, you know, as you probably rightly point out, there are politicians that, you know, are opposed to you in their views that can't really see or understand what it is you're saying, but that might be true across the spectrum.
What clearly happens is for some people that they like to listen to those people that support them in their particular view. But I remember when I was Senate leader, I sought to ensure that I reached out to all my colleagues, irrespective of what their particular disposition might be, to ensure that everybody had their voice heard, that nobody felt alienated, that there was genuine reward for effort within the Senate team, as opposed to people being rewarded for the way they lined up or the way they voted. And I think that is what we in the coalition need to do again and get back to that. And that way you get the broad full spectrum within the Liberal Party, which is its great strength. But as we saw at the last election, we did bleed a lot of votes. And it wasn't either to the Labor Party or the Greens initially. It was to the more conservative party. So that is something that I think we would do very well to take note of and then address in 2017. Because okay. to fail to do so, I fear, could lead us to electoral oblivion. And that clearly is not within the nation's interest, because the alternative is Bill Shorten, a gentleman that is absolutely ill-suited to be Prime Minister of our nation.
OK, I'll have to leave it there. We're running out of time. Very best wishes for Christmas. Doing something nice, I hope?
Yes, being with the family, Hamish, and that is something which is always wonderful to do as we celebrate the birth of Christ.
Senator Eric Abetz, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
It is 13 minutes to 8. You're listening to RN Breakfast.